Welcome to Community Connections. Couldn't get my tongue going straight off. Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Colley, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. Between 2 and 3, we're still working on an interview, but between 1 and 2, we'll have Cindy McLeish to come along and tell us what she's been doing in the community and what else is going on in the community. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Justine. Now, Justine has just moved into a new role. She's been with your library for a while, but we're here to talk about a few things about your library. So first of all, welcome, Justine.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's lovely to be here.
It's terrific to have you along too. Justine, one of the things I've got to ask you, because I know there's Kindle and all those sorts of things, and this might not be part of what you're responsible for, but have you found any uplift, downlift, or with the borrowings of books and that staying about the same?
We actually do see some increases across all of our branches. We get a very exciting email every month as staff telling us about our stats. How many people are coming into the library? How many books are they borrowing? How many digital books are they borrowing? And overall, we continue to see increases.
Yeah, I've got a daughter who said, if you can't turn the pages, I don't want to know about it. So she won't be on Kindle or anything, because she said you've got to be able to feel the book and turn the pages.
Well, look, I must say I read digital e-books, but I also have that real love of the, not just the feel of a book, but the smell of a book, the tactile sensation.
Yep.
But I must say, when you can read digital books, you can get a lot more at your fingertips. And it might be quantity, but it's not over quality, that's for sure.
No, that's fair enough too. So, Justine, the library's now, and we're going to talk a little bit more as we go along over this hour. Libraries are not just like the old-time library where you just go in, borrow a book, take it away, read it, come back, shoot it down a chute, and that's the end of it, is it? I mean, there's a lot more involved with your library.
There sure is. And, you know, one of the things that we love to reassure people, especially when they're coming back to the library, you're not in trouble anymore. You don't get... the role of the librarians has changed as well. We're not overseeing minor disturbances in noise. We're a very warm and encouraging place now,
yeah.
I'd say.
I've got a daughter who I said to her once... you can't walk into any library. There would have to be a photo, because she was digging out books she's had for about a year. But she took them all back eventually. But, there certainly was at the time one there, and you'd get fined and all this sort of stuff.
Yes, it's true, it's true. And I think one of my favourite sights is when you, say, see a young parent. They want to bring their child to story time, but they almost skulk into the library looking left and right thinking, well, that book that I borrowed in 1986, is that coming back to haunt me? No, the library's a pretty friendly and accessible place. No fines, and strongly encouraged to borrow.
I read a story a lot. Oh, this is a few years ago. I think it was actually in the paper, where somebody in America, the book was 60 years over due, and they were trying to work out how much a fine would be at so much per year and all this sort of stuff over the 60 years.
Yeah, fantastic.
But anyway, no, those times have changed. And of course, one of the things, and I want to explore this a little bit later on, that apart from the books, that it really becomes like a bit of a hub, doesn't it? I mean, we've got school holidays, which we'll talk about later on, because often libraries have things on at school holidays, Christmas time and all that, don't they?
That's right. That's right, we do. We have a lot in branch. Of course, we've always got really extensive school holiday programs for our younger learners, anything from STEM and STEAM, scientific-based activities, to creativity, to organised video games. There is so much going on in the holidays.
And some of their libraries, and I don't know, and I probably should have asked you this beforehand to see where they do it, but some of them have sort of regular things for mums to bring along their young child to introduce them to reading very early, don't they?
Do they ever? I mean, repeatedly, studies have shown how important it is to read to children, to encourage their literacy.
Yep.
We've got story times for all ages up until school at all of our branches. Just out here in the beautiful setting that is the Yarra Valley, of course, you've got the gorgeous Healesville Library and Yarra Junction Library as well. So if people are interested, come and check it out.
Sounds good to me. And, of course, also from time to time, if for some reason you're not well or something and you can't get into the library, I know the library also runs a bus service. I know they go to Wirree Community House and drop off books, and you can drop them back there and get them picked up too, can't you?
That's right. We've got a couple of outreach programs, I think, that are very relevant to, again, this beautiful setting. For some of our patrons who find themselves a bit less mobile, can't travel independently, get in contact with us about our home library service. Our wonderful volunteers
you
will bring books to you.
You can even get it to the house, can you?
Like, yes.
I didn't realise that. I knew you could get it at places like Wirree Community House now, but for somebody who's really immobile, you can get it to the house.
As long as you keep reading, we'd love to facilitate that. So our volunteers will come and pick up books for you, maybe as your choice or some recommendations, and bring it to you every few weeks, and then they'll pick up your books and bring them back in.
Can't do much better than that.
Here's to our volunteers, hey?
I've got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and find specifically what we want to talk about today. Talking to Justine from your library. Now, Justine, I've got to ask you just a personal question. We don't like to get too personal, but what made you decide you wanted to be involved in library as a job? Was it were you a teacher or something that gravitated into it, or what happened?
What a wonderful question, because I asked the same thing of my colleagues. And to every person, of course, there's a real love of reading.
Yep.
My personal background was teaching English as a second language, teacher training, just language as communication, so whether it's the written word or the spoken.
Sorry, did you teach in a school? Or
I taught at a university. I taught overseas for a number of years as well, earning my stripes, as we say. Yeah.
Where, in what country?
Predominantly in China, spent a bit of time in the UK and in Spain, teaching over there as
I believe there's quite a lot of, should I say, Aussies in places like China and Japan and that, teaching English.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's where a lot of us go to just earn those few years of experience.
Yep. What's the difference in the experience? Like, do they treat a teacher better over there or What's the difference?
That's a really good observation. I think that culturally there is a lot of respect for education and a lot of respect for the teacher.
We've lost a bit of that here, I must say.
And also our students here, you know, free time is very, very important. Whereas, look, we're going back over 20 years, but free time, when I was living in China, free time for the students was a chance for more education, musical education, artistic, that idea that it makes you a fuller person.
And they also put a lot bigger emphasis on education over there, don't they?
I think so, yes.
Now, you came in for a specific purpose, and so we'd better start to get on to that. Now, you want to get the library are doing something about literacy. So, because without literacy, we're in a lot of trouble.
Of course, and I think that was a lovely segue from thinking about education as well. Like you've done this before, Alan.
I'm not just a pretty face.
And you're definitely that.
I wish I was.
Yeah, well, I'd like to tell your listeners about our Leap into Literacy program. Now, the library runs quite a few literacy programs, a lot of adult literacy and obviously early childhood literacy. We are just on the verge of delivering one of our Leap into Literacy training courses, so I'm really grateful that you've had me in this week. Now, the Leap into Literacy program is a one-to-one program whereby we recruit, onboard and train volunteers to support people who have identified that they've got lower literacy. We're not going to use the term illiteracy because I think that there's a lot of grey between people feeling that they're literate or illiterate. And I think the needs change, of course, now with digital literacy, having to do things on computers and through websites. Really, we're talking about people who might find that they don't have enough literacy skills for them to progress themselves and navigate life.
And do what they want to do.
That's right, yes.
Rather than be held back because of it.
Sorry, Alan, to interrupt
you. No, I was just going to say, I don't want to interrupt you either, but just not being held back because they can't do it.
Absolutely. And I think we can all agree the goalposts do change on this. Things that might have been within your reach before, now you might need to do those without the support of somebody across a counter or not be able to access people to help you fill out a form. So if people are finding that, you know, the game's getting a bit harder and the goalposts are getting further away, I would love for them to feel that the library is a place where we can support them with that.
So, first of all, I've got to ask you, what sort of age group are you aiming at?
For our Leap into Literacy program, we are aiming at anyone. What we tend to find is people from their older teenage years. And we might think about this as people who reach year 9 and year 10. When the academic studies maybe increase beyond their reach, they might be seeking alternative education, vocational education through TAFEs, all the way through to people in their 60s and 70s. It does not need to be about studying a course. It doesn't even need to be about getting a job. It's just finding that you might personally feel that you would like a little bit of help with your literacy and numeracy.
So let me understand this. Well, not just me, for the listeners as well. This is not a case of having people come down to the library once a week or once a fortnight. You're talking about training people to go and talk to these people. Is that what the system is?
This particular program, we do invite people to come into the library. So our learners, we encourage them to meet in a library. Our volunteers.
But on a one-on-one basis, not just come into a big room and hope you can do some good.
Absolutely not. No, our volunteers are coming. We're going to begin training them soon in literacy training techniques. But I would really like us to move away from thoughts like teacher and student. We use the terms tutor and learner. And what we've found is that a lot of our learners might have had pretty negative experiences in the classroom or out of the classroom. So we don't want people to feel that this is a formal learning environment. Yep. It's a one-to-one between a trained volunteer and one of our learners, and it can be a conversation. It can be even a walk around the library to discuss some reading comprehension that they might have done. Some of our learners just want to be able to write a small journal every week.
Write a diary.
Absolutely. Yep. And that is a great way to see your own progress as you work with someone.
All right. So let me ask you a couple of things. Are you looking for more volunteers, or do you have enough volunteers? And if you are looking for more, what sort of background do you want those volunteers to have?
We are always looking for new volunteers. Our volunteers are a wonderful group of people who bring a lot of compassion and care into what we do day to day. We're looking for volunteers at the moment who might be interested in learning how to tutor a literacy student. And our volunteers, look, we're looking for someone who's an adult, anything from 18 plus. Yep. A lot of our volunteers come to us in their retirement, having wanted to volunteer for a very
long
time.
Absolutely, yep.
And really, we're looking for people who are open, who are compassionate, who are reliable and just willing to share their own experiences. You don't need to be pedantic about grammar. You don't need to be aiming to read War and Peace by the end of the week. It's just about sharing that love for literacy with someone.
All right, so we will talk just for a little while about the volunteers, and then we'll get on to the people to come to these. So out of a volunteer, like, how long does it take to train one? And then the other thing is, what sort of commitment, like, how often do you want the volunteer to go to meet that person or to come in and meet that person? And do they only work with one person? Three questions in one.
Let's hope I can keep them all in my head. Of course, retaining that information might be something to make me empathise with some of our learners as well. Our Leap into Literacy volunteer tutoring course runs for 6 weeks. We're beginning on the 11th of November this year. Now, the course runs 3 times a year. So if people are feeling, oh, I'm interested, but it doesn't suit now, we run the course in March. We run it again from June and again from October. So if you're interested, get in contact. We can help you find a time that suits you. Once our volunteers are trained up, we do ask.
Let's go back to the 11th of November.
Oh, sorry, yes, of course.
So how long will each session be, and how long would a volunteer be in that training?
Excellent. Now, the volunteering training is 6 weeks, but it's once a week. The session's about 2.5 hours, and it is face-to-face. Thank you for that reminder, Alan, because a lot of people do say, is it online?
Yep.
But we like to create a little bit of a rapport with our volunteers. Now, if people can't attend all 6 sessions, that's okay. We can make it work. So it'll be a Tuesday for 2.5 hours each time.
What time?
For 6 weeks. We're just looking to maybe move it to the afternoon, because I'm finding our volunteers have delightfully busy lives. They have art classes, cycling trips and all kinds of things in the morning. So I might shift it to around lunchtime to begin that.
Sounds fair enough. And where would it be?
We're doing that at Bayswater Library. For those who don't know, Bayswater Library has just had a beautiful facelift, and it's a great opportunity to celebrate a new library with lots of good public transport and parking links as well.
Oh, it's got good parkings often. All right, so it'll be for 6 weeks, for 2.5 hours, probably on a Tuesday around lunchtime. All right. So at the end of the 6 weeks, do they need a working with children's?
We arrange all of that with the volunteer. So whilst they're training, we'll arrange your police check, your working with children's check, and this just brings you under, I guess, the security of the policies of library staff as well.
Yep.
So by the end of the course, you're qualified, we are ready to register you, and then it can take a few weeks or even a couple of months to match you with an appropriate student. Yep. We ask you what your preferences are, what libraries are close to you, what times suit you. Yep. And we really want to respect that our volunteers have very busy lives outside of this hour or so a week that they are offering to our learners.
So I've got to take a break in half a minute, but how often would that volunteer interact with their person? Because probably once a month isn't any good, is it? They forget what they did.
I think you're right there. Look, we ask for about once a week.
Yeah, for how long?
Once a week for about an hour.
Yeah.
But I should point out that once the learner and the tutor have started working together, that relationship is a really peer-to-peer relationship between them. So if you've got holidays coming up, don't you worry. We can accommodate that. And we do check in regularly with our volunteers and with our learners just to make sure everybody's feeling motivated, feeling like this is a nice space for them to be in to work together.
All right, I've got to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more in about 5 to 1. Justine will have all the contact details, whether you're a volunteer or whether you're somebody who needs this program. We shall give you all the details. Justine from your library. Now, Justine, one of the things that I preach a lot on this show is about loneliness. And they do say if we don't do something about loneliness, it will actually overtake cancer as a killer, because people are just sitting on the couch. They get very unhealthy mentally. It's no good for them. So I guess a lot of people lead very busy lives up until they retire, and then all of a sudden nothing. And it's worse if you lose a spouse. And I often say this, particularly if the husband dies, because very often, and I know this is stereotyping, very often the husband does most of the driving. So they have plans to do a lot of trips, and all of a sudden something happens and he passed away. And we get a lot of people just sitting at home on the couch. And I'm always trying to find ways to get these people off the couch, because if not, it's never going to end well. So I guess what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way, that as a volunteer, this is a way you're not asking for a commitment 4 days a week, 3 days a week. It could be as much as an hour or two a week. And it, apart from the fact that they're going to pass something on to somebody else, it's also good for their own mental health.
I think you're absolutely spot on there. And a lot of our volunteers do talk about a purposeful life in retirement. Retirement can be a wonderful time to pursue things that yep. you've always wanted to do, but in the quiet patches in between, if you are feeling like it's a good time to make connection with people, I think Alan is spot on the money there.
That's something I talk about a lot because it really does worry me, and I've interviewed a lot of people who have said that until they got involved with something, their life was going right downhill. Anyway, we've talked enough about volunteers. Now, there are possibly a lot of people out there in the age group you're talking that really do need this. So is there a limit to the amount of people? I suppose you're going to say me it's limited by how many volunteers we get. But do some volunteers do more than one person? Is that how you'd view it?
Some of our volunteers do more than one program. We've got some volunteers that are doing the home library service, also doing the literacy tutoring for 1 hour a week, but they want more, and they might come and join in our conversation circles, which is a basically a chat and connect group for non-native speakers. Yep. And we've also got other programs if people are interested in getting involved. So trust me, you volunteers, we could get you to work full time if yep. you're
Well, let's just go
it.
Back to the ones for literacy, though. Mm-hmm. Are you only going to give them one client per week, or could they take on more?
Generally speaking, they could take on more. Yep. We're also constantly looking for more learners to come along as well. And yep. the reason I ask that is I feel like a lot of learners with lower literacy might not feel confident to come to someone. Like we mentioned earlier, they yep. could have very bad experiences with education and maybe don't feel that this opportunity is available for them. Well, I'd like to reassure them it definitely is.
So if we get – see, one of the things, and I don't want to go back into the past because it's doesn't do any good, except in this case, I think that the lockdowns for the schools have really done a lot of harm to a lot of young people.
Particularly, absolutely.
Particularly those who are in high school. And I don't want to get into politics of it all because I don't do a political show. But some of those young people may really need a bit of a help. So – you're saying at what sort of level of schooling could they get involved? I'm talking about now not as a volunteer. I'm talking about as somebody who could get involved in the program.
I must admit I have not come across any barriers to accepting younger and younger people into the program. Right. The hardest thing, Alan, is for people to reach out and request help. And we take that really seriously. So if we had somebody in their mid-teens or even younger who, as you mentioned, that kind of blip that we all might remember in 2020 yep. and 2021, if people feel that they have struggled to return to regular standard education, come one, come all.
Because I was reading the other day, I think it's something like about 40% of young people are not putting in a full week at school since COVID.
That's right, yes.
Just because of they were isolated, there wasn't a natural progression, you know, from 1 year to the next. And I think there's about 46%, if I read, that are not going to school on a regular basis.
Gee, those are very high numbers, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And I think that people might feel anxious about returning to school yep. after those times, or just that interrupted education can...
Yep.
Honestly, I think we'll see that play out in years to come as well. You know, at the moment, Alan, we're looking at really high statistics of people who have identified that they've got lower literacy. We're looking up in the 40s for that. I think if we don't do something about it, we'll see those numbers increase. You know, currently we've got around 7 million Australians who say that they could use a bit of assistance. Yep. Let's work together to get that number down.
We've got to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more.
Oh,
Mm. I'm talking to Justine from your library. Justine, we're talking a lot about literacy, and for the older people, they must feel isolated. I think the more isolated you're going to feel, because A, you'd have trouble with iPads, iPhones, but even the local newspaper, and we all need to stay connected. And not all the TV news is fantastic anyway. But I guess the other issue, and we haven't even touched on this about literacy, if your literacy is low, it is going to affect a job, because there are very few of the jobs that people used to do in the likes of General Motors, Holden and Ford and all that, where they just went in and they screwed these dozen bolts on every car and that was their job. Those jobs don't exist anymore. So I guess people need to get a bit better qualified, because they need to be able to use computers, whether you like it or not. We use computers here. So I guess one of the things that would be ideal is the younger people, we've told, but also the early adults.
Absolutely. And I think you've really summarised a problem that we're all aware of. We might not feel comfortable talking about it all the time, but we are finding that a lot of those vocations and jobs that were very, very manual now also have a complementary written element as well. You might be putting together things in factories, but now you've got to write a report about it. You might be doing traffic management, but now you have to apply for a job using online forms and reading policies at home rather than in the workplace.
And also, even in the workplace, you've got bullying, you've got all these sorts of policies you've got to know.
Absolutely. And look, unsurprisingly, aside from the economic issues that can come when people find that their literacy is perhaps a bit too low to navigate their own lives, you've got co-committent issues with that. You've got financial strain. You've got stigma and bullying. You've got low self-esteem and also some traumas that can come out of that.
And I guess the other thing is it probably holds some people back, because, A, they don't want to turn up and, oh, I'll have to fill out a form and I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So then they don't go. So then we come back into this isolation again.
That's right. We definitely do. And that's why we always say within the adult literacy programs, the biggest step is for people to get in contact with us. Once they've done that, let's do this together as peers.
Sounds good. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and then Justine is going to tell you just exactly how you can get in contact.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? You both kicked off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out. levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, we were singing bye bye Miss America.
And just a quick reminder, after that I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with music memories and more, hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even a little bit of the 80s, and of course I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade, all the hits of the 60s. But anyway, that's on Sunday, but I'll be here doing the two shows. I'm talking to Justine from Your Library. Now, Justine, you've got us excited. We either want to volunteer or we want to take part in this literacy program. So how are we going to find out more about it?
Well, you've got lots of options to get into contact with us. First of all, do visit the Your Library website. We've got a page on volunteers, so if you scroll down below on the Your Library website, you'll find out about our volunteering opportunities.
So what is the website? Is it the 3 W's, Your Library, or what?
3 W's, yourlibrary.vic.gov.au, or you can simply Google Your Library. Yep. One of our other opportunities is, of course, you can email us. So that's at volunteers, with an S at the end, volunteers@yourlibrary.vic.gov.au.
So give us a go again, please.
Sure will. Volunteers, with an S on the end, volunteers@yourlibrary.vic.gov.au. And I'll be monitoring that email address. Any inquiries that you've got, I'll follow up with you.
Now, that's mainly for the volunteers. Mm-hmm. What about the people who want to get involved?
So if people would like to speak to us and maybe don't feel quite as comfortable with the written word, you could give me a call on 0408 379 026. Once again, for your listeners, 0408 379 026. And look, if we can't get to answer the phone, that's the work mobile. If we can't answer the phone, I'll give you a ring back shortly after. And finally, if you're feeling comfortable, come into one of our branches. We've got lots of branches across Yarra Ranges, Maroondah and Knox Councils. Of course, out in this beautiful part of the world, we've got Yarra Junction, Healesville, Lilydale, Montrose and plenty of other places. Come in, have a chat and find that libraries are far friendlier than you might recall.
Now, just briefly, and we'll give those details again in another couple of minutes because we're fast running out of time. School holidays, we haven't touched that. What does your libraries do for school holidays?
We have a very, very extensive school holiday program for children of school age all throughout the holidays. And I encourage you, get on board and have a look at that as early as you can. On the Your Library website, we've got a section for events, upcoming events, and that's not just the school holiday program. That's all of our programs, be it crafting at a particular branch or just lots of different ways to make connections with other people in your area. And just, Alan, you touched on before that loneliness epidemic that we're aware of. Come on in, find like-minded people doing like-minded things or extend yourself with a new skill.
All right, so give me a... it may vary from place to place, but what sort of hours is your library open?
Generally speaking, we're there from 9 o'clock until 5 p.m. Some branches are open until 8 p.m.
Yep.
Some branches are open until 8 p.m. on, say, a Thursday. Saturdays, most branches are open until 1 o'clock, so come and bring those books in the morning, but also our bigger branches, such as Realm, Ringwood Library, Knox, they'll be open until 5 o'clock and open on Sundays as well.
Yeah, because once upon a time, libraries weren't open on a Sunday, were they?
That's right. Once upon a time, librarians were gruff people who told you off for talking.
For making too much noise.
But thankfully, we live in interesting times.
Do you ever get people in there causing making too much noise?
Oh, look, I don't want to spill all the tea too early on. You might have to come on in and find out about it.
Look, here's a great opportunity, Justine's been telling you, because you can be either side the fence. You could volunteer. Once you've got past your training, 1 hour a week doesn't seem a lot to, and you may improve somebody's life 1,000% just by 1 hour a week. And particularly the young people who have missed out on schooling, social interaction, this could be a good way for you to get back in. And you may have lost your literacy skills a bit. It's a great, without those, I mean, jobs, jobs aren't quite as good as they should have been.
Yeah, I would agree, and life might not be quite as enjoyable as we hope it can be for you.
Yeah, that's true. And there's nothing worse than, and I've seen it done, where I've been somewhere and somebody's passed something on and then said later on, oh, I couldn't read that.
Yeah.
And so the person must feel really bad about that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Justine, and we should also mention too, that while all these new things that libraries are taking on, well, not the school holiday stuff, that's been going on forever and a day, but your literacy and that, we still should remind people the good old library's still there to go and borrow books.
Yes, we do still have physical copies of books there as well, in amongst everything else.
Because it's very easy to be talking so much about all these new ideas, but to forget what libraries were set
that's
up
right.
for about.
Good to just come on in and have a browse if you've got nothing better to do.
Right. We're quickly, fastly, same thing.
Alan, did you want to join in our literacy program?
Just about, sure. Or speaking one. The contact details again, please.
Certainly. So you can visit the Your Library website. You could email me.
You've got to give people the full details.
Do you know, I must admit, I tend to just type in Your Library into Google these days and click the link. But you're right, it's www.yourlibrary.vic.gov.au.
And the phone number?
The phone number, 0408
379 026. Justine, we're just about out of time. Thank you for coming in. But also, just a quick reminder that I guess the mums and that and dads should start to look at what's coming up, because school holidays aren't that far away.
No, they're not. And we book up quick. We run more and more programs every time, but they do book out quickly. So get in contact.
And 6 weeks, a long while for mum and dad to fill in with little juniors.
Is it ever?
Look, we wish you well. I hope this literacy program is this the first time you've run it?
This is the first time I'm doing it in my role as Acting Regional Literacy Officer, but we've been running this since 2022, times a year. Absolutely. We do it in conjunction with Mountain District Learning Centre, so we've got all the benefit of their educational experience in adult education, which is really wonderful.
Terrific.